What does it mean when the thing you've sacrificed everything for remains forever out of reach? In Ghana, a marriage dissolves that never truly existed, a union conducted with the bride represented only by a photograph held aloft during the ceremony while she remained thousands of miles away in Virginia. This peculiar arrangement, born from desperation for an American visa, now ends in Mr. and T's living room, where two families gather in their finest traditional dress to dismantle what was always a fiction. The phrase, "what Napoleon could not do," echoes through the proceedings, a Guyanian expression for the impossible, particularly the coveted American green card that has eluded Jacob despite 5 years of marriage. As relatives trade veiled insults and accusations, the truth emerges. Patricia now shares her apartment with a Nigerian doctor, while Jacob remains stranded in Ghana, his visa applications rejected repeatedly. The divorce unfolds like theater, each family spokesperson delivering practiced speeches, until Mr. T explodes, calling Patricia a harlot and shocking the assembled guests. Yet the real tragedy isn't this failed marriage, but what it represents, how the promise of America transforms people into strangers, turning love into transaction and family into collateral damage. Behind Jacob's passive exterior exists a man at war with himself. At 40, he frequents prostitutes who misunderstand what he truly wants, offering tenderness when he craves scenarios inspired by his online conversations with Hotch 91. His past relationships, with Pearl from Berlin, who used a rubber whip, with Maria, who employed her husband's leather belt, reveal desires he guards like state secrets. His sexual deviance represents something deeper, seeking control through submission, punishment as release from crushing expectations. When he finally pitches a business proposal to the Azar brothers, he arrives perfectly dressed, his necktie causing both discomfort and strange pleasure. But seeing Nabil through the office window, Jacob loses his nerve and flees to a local chop bar, where revelation strikes. He could start his own computer school with Benjamin, his friend who owns an internet cafe. This moment marks a shift. Perhaps remaining in Ghana isn't failure, but freedom. Still, he notices the contrast between Ghana's frequent power outages and America's constant illumination, a metaphor for the disparity shaping his family's trajectory. 22 years after leaving Ghana, Belinda navigates American life knowing one misstep could cost everything. Her marriage to Wilder, a wealthy, older white man who proposed to solve her immigration problems, began as transaction, but evolved into something more complicated. Despite her law degree and BC bar passage, she couldn't secure employment without a green card. Now she lives in his 8,000-square-foot Houston mansion, surrounded by gun collections and horses, maintaining careful distance from her Ghanaian family. She didn't return when her mother died, a choice haunting her relationship with Jacob. At her former friend Edith's wedding, Sims delivers shocking news. Jacob apparently sought someone connected to Belinda's past on an S&M website, fulfilling some disturbing fantasy. The revelation exposes how little she knows the family she left behind. Calling her father, she learns he contacted Edith's father about Jacob's visa, but Mr. Hyde demanded $8,000 as a family discount. Every American opportunity carries a price tag her family has been paying without her knowledge. Wilder Thomas, heir to Texas oil wealth, volunteered for Vietnam to escape childhood nightmares of exploding fruits. He joined the Fists after racial tensions erupted among black soldiers. When Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, his friend Hillard vanished, later found drowned, a death the white lieutenant dismissed as inability to swim. After medical discharge, Wilder traveled to Laos, where he met Vitsana, a conjure woman, and bonded with young Mai, who was killed mistaking an unexploded bomb for a ball. These ghosts, Vatsana and Mai, haunt Wilder decades later, manifesting physically during intimate moments with Belinda. His Vietnam disappearance now threatens Belinda's green card application, but Wilder refuses the truth, secretly paying his lawyer to forge documents rather than betray his promise to Vitsana. Alfred's death in a car accident, while collecting chairs for Jacob's computer school, brings Belinda home after 22 years. She stands before rows of black plastic chairs arranged for the funeral, having frozen on the bridge the previous night until her father guided her across. During a power outage, she and Jacob clash. He accuses her of losing her mind and references her bearded old man husband, while she mentions his relationship with Patricia involving whips and chains. The next morning, Belinda acknowledges her past arrogance, particularly arranging Jacob's marriage without considering his desires. At the funeral, Wilder becomes disoriented, believing Vatsana has caused sudden paralysis in his toes, what he calls special custard, manipulating Belinda's green card situation out of jealousy. Later, sitting with her father by the gate, Belinda confronts him about favoring her achievements over Jacob's. Mr. Nanti admits he made her self-absorbed by constantly telling her how special she was, pointing out her luck and tendency to discard people. When she demands credit for financially supporting the family home, he apologizes but reminds her that, given her accomplishments, she doesn't need validation. Robert arranges a meeting between Wilder and Jacob at an unfinished house, a setting mirroring their incomplete reconciliation. Jacob surprises Wilder by proposing to convert gas flaring into electricity for his oil business. Following Belinda's advice, Wilder lets Jacob believe the idea originated with him, demonstrating how reconciliation requires strategic navigation of pride. When Jacob questions Wilder's motivations for leaving America, his skepticism reveals deep suspicions many Ghanaians harbor about foreign investors, even family. The conversation shifts to Alfred, and Jacob's demeanor changes dramatically. His cryptic reference, "You have done what Napoleon could not do," suggests obtaining a green card, bringing development, healing rifts. Jacob's abrupt departure and message that he cannot look Belinda in the eye illustrates unresolved guilt. Some wounds run too deep for simple solutions. Yet the characters find value in partial understanding, discovering that authentic relationships to family, homeland, and one's true self matter more than external success. The American dream reveals itself as both mirage and prison. Jacob will likely never obtain his visa. Belinda's green card remains stalled by ghosts from Laos, and Mr. Nanti grows old watching his children's lives through crackling phone lines. Yet something shifts in acknowledging limitation. When we stop chasing what Napoleon could not do, we might see what's actually possible. Not perfect reconciliation, but honest conversation. Not complete understanding, but genuine effort. Not the erasure of pain, but its integration into who we've become. The novel suggests diaspora describes not only geographic displacement, but the emotional distance we create pursuing impossible things. Some barriers will never fall, some oceans will never fully close, and some families will never again gather as they once did. What remains is the choice: to keep measuring ourselves against Napoleon's failures or to find meaning in what we actually can do. Reach across divides, speak difficult truths, carry our ghosts with grace, and build connection from the fragments of broken dreams.